read it in the Word, oftentimes you read it in the middle of the year, you know, Christmas in July kind of thing. We hear it, we talk about it, we read about it, we post about it. And I wonder sometimes if we really internalize it, if we're really moved by it again. In our culture, we are so Jesus'd in our, I'm talking about right here, not outside of here. We're very much in a box, if you will. And it's so easy for us to forget the majesty. And when you get moved, like I watched the whole church, from sitting here, I get to watch most. I can't see you guys over here much because I'm kind of over here. But it's just incredible to see the movement of God in the room and see that happen. Because I'm telling you guys, that's not the experience of a lot of people. And sometimes we put ourselves on automatic so much in life that we just move forward. And it almost takes a tragedy or a something that we didn't expect that week or something to happen to stop us and help us think long enough about the right things in order to get refocused back again. And I'm sorry to just dive right into it like that, but praise God for the birth of Christ, right? Praise God for the life of Jesus. Praise God for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we are born from above and God... We talked about this, Micah did this morning in our worship gathering. We're born from above, and God does a work in our heart. It's not just to have a cool service or to have, and I've enjoyed the music, and I love it always. And I get lost over here behind this kit and praise to God, just beating the mess out of the devil. That's what I kind of look at is, you know, whatever, you know, kind of thing. But every time you praise, you've taken You've taken what his job used to be out of him, and he's so jealous and so angry and so frustrated because he's lost. And we do it because we are saved. We're not going to be saved. We're already in eternity. And I'm just so excited to be able to proclaim this message again. It is Christmas time. Probably here in Easter, probably two times in the year where we get to talk about Jesus more, really, I'm talking about out in culture where people are. So listen, take advantage of that time. Use this time to share the story of when you see a nativity scene and somebody looks at it and asks a question about it, be ready to answer about what that's really about. When you see, we've made it about so much other stuff, it becomes so commercialized that we've lost the real meaning of, and by the way, just say this, Christians, every day is Christmas for us, okay? For believers in Christ, every day is Easter. Every day is something about Christ. Every Sunday we celebrate it, and it's special now this time of year. And by the way, let's just welcome all the guests that are here. We're glad you're here. We have family who come and get to see each other, and people travel. And we did a show last, our Christmas show. I play in a band over in Florence, and we did our Christmas show last night. And there were people that drove 16 hours to see us play. Actually, no, they drove to see family, but they just happened to come to the show to see us play. But this time of year lends itself to that, right? It's we're trying to get close to one another and love one another, and the enemy comes in and tries to snatch all that away, and he just has no power. It's just hilarious sometimes. He just has no power over what we're doing at all, and all it takes us is in Jesus' name. I think sometimes, I'm going to give you two words to start the message today. If you guys are notes takers, you've noticed they're blank. The notes takers opened the worship guide this morning and moaned, oh, no. I have no blanks to fill in. You got a whole page of blanks, man. Come on, there's going to be some stuff said that you can fill in and do that. And the first couple of things is for just two words. One is expectations. Expectations. An expectation is an anticipation of what we believe or hope will happen. A lot of people this time of year celebrate what's called Advent, which is really a leaning into an expectancy. It's an anticipation of something coming. And it was the birth of Christ and that him coming into the world and being a part of us. The other word is disappointment. Disappointment is what we believed would happen, either didn't happen or it didn't happen the way we thought it should happen. And we become disappointed in that. And I think, especially for the people when Jesus was born into the world, there was this anticipation, yes. The Jews have been told for a long, long time, he's coming, Messiah's coming, he's coming. And when he came... He didn't come like they thought he would. He didn't do what they thought he should. They wanted a military leader. They wanted someone to come and take Rome out of their way so they could have freedom to do what they want to do. And the Jews have been looking for that kind of freedom all these years and trying to find that kind of freedom. They saw him as the protector of Israel. They saw him probably a lot like they saw Abraham and Moses and all the great leaders. When Messiah would come, he would out-trump all of them and just destroy everybody and let us have what we want. And they expected that, and they had to be disappointed when he was born in a feed trough or laid in a feed trough. He was born in very difficult circumstances. And it stayed that way his entire life. And so while I'm thinking this year about what I wanted to do for Christmas, and you guys, most of you know my story and know my thinking's kind of buzzed out a little bit right now anyway. And so trying to think, okay, what am I going to do? And it's kind of like this thing where you want to tell the story again, but you want to tell it from a different standpoint to try to keep, like, attention and focus and that kind of thing. But here's what I know about Discovery Church. You guys are already here focused. You're involved already before I ever say this. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit put on my heart Isaiah 53. And I've been reading it and listening to it. And not, I didn't do a deep dive study. I did on some of the things. But I just really wanted to see what happened to the view of Israel, of this Messiah that they were expecting, that they expected something completely different than what you're going to read in Scripture. And sometimes Jesus would get frustrated with the religious leaders. He would say, "You guys, are y'all reading the same Torah I am? Are y'all reading the same story? Are y'all getting this?" And you almost see him almost just like frustrated that they would ask these questions and he would just bewilder them with an answer usually. But sometimes he would just almost seem like confused because they expected an earthly king and they missed the king of the universe. I mean they expected something so completely different that God moved into the neighborhood and nobody saw it. I mean, just like, what do we do? And it's almost like God wanted it that way. It's almost like you read the story, because God is not this God usually that, at least it doesn't work this way for me most of the time. If I pray something, God don't usually just send an envelope the next day. He doesn't usually send something in the mail that says, "Oh, by the way, you prayed this yesterday. Here's the answer to that." It's always this mysterious, very almost unclear thing. And it's frustrating. Come on, believers. It's frustrating, right? We're like, "Well, Lord, we've been talking about this and praying about this, and it just ain't turning out like we thought it should. And so where are you? What's going on?" We started asking him all these questions. And I think the people that didn't expect Jesus to be who he was, that's why he died. They expected something completely different. And when he rocked their world by saying stuff like, "Before Abraham was, I am." And we make a statement like that. When you make a statement like that, you're basically claiming it's God in a bod. And they didn't like it. Matter of fact, they picked up stones to throw at him to kill him then. And his disciples were so fired up about it, but they didn't really understand what they were trying to do. They were like, "Let's make you king today. Let's do it." You watch The Chosen at all, man. They bring it out so well. It's like, what are you waiting on? I mean, come on, man. You could take these people out in a heartbeat. We've seen you feed the 5,000. We've seen you do all these things and raise the dead. Get these people out of the way and let's go make our kingdom and do what we're going to do and take over the world. And Jesus said, "No, you don't understand what you're asking. You don't understand the kind of kingdom that I'm getting you to believe in." And I'm just so full of thoughts in my head this morning. It's like in any given circumstance, and I've told Liz this and my kids this, it's easy for me to stand here and say these things. Some days, man, it's like, how in the world am I going to live what I just got through preaching? And I'm being very honest and open. You guys know I'm real like that. I just want you to understand that you feel victorious most of the time. But there are those times when you just feel beat up by the world or the day. I mean, I was talking to Dan a minute ago, and he said, I work basically half a day every day. I work the first 12 hours or the last 12 hours. I don't know which one I'm going to choose. But we're in our world like that so much, man. It is so hard to get focused where we need to be. Isaiah, in his prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, said this about the Messiah: "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. He said this not 5 days before it happened. He said this many hundreds of years before this actually came to be. It's one of the great ways we know the Bible is what it is. Jesus came and fulfilled all of these prophecies. You see, because of the influence of faulty interpretation and on this passage and others, apparently, the people of Jesus' day missed God with them. Isaiah also predicted some of the other characteristics. He said, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. He's going to be in a cute manger, and you're going to make nativity scenes after him and have Christmas every year. That's not what he says. The weight of the government is going to rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. We look all the time for somebody to help us, and he's the Wonderful Counselor. He's right here inside of me. How we miss that sometimes. He's the mighty God, the mighty everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah says these things early in his writings about this and prophesies all things about Jesus. And then we get to chapter 53, and it's almost as if there is a curve thrown. And we get this picture of the Messiah that is completely different from what we've been reading about. God with us? Virgin having a baby, and all those things that are, by the way, completely like crazy cool, because you're looking at like, did y'all get that? A virgin had a baby? I mean, it only happens by the miracle of God. And it's one of the base truths, by the way, of our faith. It's one of the base truths, and people question it all the time. You know why people question those crazy things about God? Because I don't think they know God. I think they're trying to come up with ideas. Anyway, I don't want to get off from too much in that. I'm just saying they don't know who he is. He gives us unexpected, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. And unlike anything we could have thought or imagined, what we expected God gives us unexpected. And it's up to us whether or not we want to change our view and figure out what God wanted us to see and not be disappointed. Can I just ask us, and this is me, I'm asking me, can I not just kind of sit in the crowd for a little and just say, you know, man, you need to stop being so disappointed all the time. Stop. Just stop. I just think sometimes if I could settle in my mind that the things that I get most disappointed about when it comes to eternity is really not all that significant anyway. And even if it is a significant thing in your life, by the way, it's okay. It is okay. It is human. It is okay for us to be disappointed from time to time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that you need to be disappointed in. But I feel like that I need to take hold of my disappointments because it's beginning to spill over into my life in other ways. And I'm really kind of tired of it. You know what I mean? And so, here's what this passage says, Isaiah 53. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. Nothing. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We, and by the way, when you see this text, it says, we turned our backs on him. Please personify that to you. Because at some point in our life, we, and some of you are doing it now, some of you are trying to do it, you're trying to go take back your life and just go do your own thing, and you're turning your back on him, and looked the other way. Have you ever noticed when you turn your back on somebody, you can't look them in the eye? If you see them coming, you turn your back and walk the other way. And this is what we did to our Messiah. He was despised, and we, everybody say we did not care. You will change the things in your life that you care about the most. So just figure out what you're changing your life to please and to satisfy and to love on and care for, and those are the things that you care about most. Trying to do that. He was despised, and we didn't care. His unexpected nature for them in the days of Jesus was part of the problem for them. For them. We've got the hindsight of looking back and saying, we can see that, and sometimes we still don't care. Does that speak to you at all? It does to me. You just slough through life sometimes. I just finished the Proverbs again, and I think one of the Proverbs says something, that's the Keith translation. It says, sleep as much as you want to and starve to death. I love the Proverbs, man. It's just like, we just, and I see that passage as me just going, okay, I just want to sometimes just go home and veg out on TV, or go home and veg out on something, or go somewhere and just get away from it, and all those things, when it should be driven, I should be driven back to the Word, and back to God, and back to this Messiah. And in the midst of turning our backs on Him, He took care of us. Listen to what Isaiah said. By the way, remember, hundreds of years before this actually happened, yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. It was what things that we were going through. Those things weighed Him down. You guys can relate to this, especially if you're a parent and your kid's hurting in some way. We got several children out from sicknesses and stuff. It doesn't matter what's going on. You feel the weight of when your children are, especially if they're turning their back on you spiritually. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. See, we thought something had to be wrong with Jesus for God to kill His own Son. But the word B-U-T in the Bible, man, if you skip it, you're going to miss some stuff. We thought it was His sins that put Him on the cross. No, but He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. You can just put out in your notes right there, He was our substitute. He took all of that so we didn't have to. Aren't you grateful? You don't have to take the beatings. You can live in Christ, all healing, excuse me, sin cleansing, and wholeness that we experience, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, ultimately all comes from Jesus, and it's all happening because of sin. Cancer is not a punishment from God on somebody. It is a messed up world because sin hit the world, and God's the antidote for it. Colds and flu and inflation and money problems and relationship problems and why the wife won't do what you want her to do, she and you won't do what she, why you get in those things, why the skirmishes, why the differences, why the division in our country, the division all over our world. It ultimately came because Adam and Eve reached up and said, in defiance to God, I'm taking this and I want to know what you know, and they took the fruit and ate it. They disobeyed God. And it all entered into the world that way. And y'all, we're living in a place. Great, listen, if you don't ever hear anything I've ever said in the world, don't miss this. We're living in a place that is not meant for us to be in this state. It is to be changed. It is to be transformed. It is to be completely renewed. And God's going to do it one day, and I cannot wait till He does. And then we won't have the possibility of sin and problems and issues and all the things that we feel like are so important. And by the way, some of them are very important. I'm not trying to demean any of our problems. My problems are mine. Yours are yours. It just is what it is. We say that all the time. I kind of get tired of is what it is. Do y'all get tired of that? I told Brandon one day, I want him to do a shirt for me. It just says, it's what it's. With the apostrophe S, because it says it is what it is, but just it's what it is. And then you can bring up some conversation about it. It just is what it is. And sometimes, I guess that's true, but it's not what it's going to be. It is not what it's going to be. Y'all, we have something to look forward to because this Messiah came and ultimately defeated all those things on our behalf, on your behalf. And I'm convinced, I've said it a million times, I'm convinced that if there's only one of you, if there's only one of us here, He would have done it for me because He loves me that much. Then He is our shepherd. I found it interesting when I read this next part of the text that you've got a shepherd, and the first people that get revealed to about Him coming into the world was shepherds. I don't know why. I mean, that's not a great point or anything. Apparently, y'all are not very impressed. But anyway, I mean, it dawned on me. You ever study the Bible and you go, oh, you have a Rhema moment? You guys have been through freedom, right? Where are my freedom people? About six of you. Y'all sound real free. Woo, yay. Y'all sound like it's mid-Christmas season and y'all just worn out and ready for the new year, right? He's our shepherd. He says all of us. The Scripture says here, all of us like sheep have strayed away, and we've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. I mean, there's a whole series of sermons in that. The scapegoat, where they put the sins on the goat and sent Him His way. Jesus was our scapegoat. He took all of our sins away. This, folks, is the very center of this. That's why we started this series called Redemption, God's Plan of Redemption. it's culminating today in this message in that Jesus paid the price that was owed and redeemed us. And we've said it already, and you understand it to a degree. But I don't know if we ever get it all the way. Sometimes I just have to clap my hands to wake myself up. I know y'all not asleep, but I get asleep sometimes. I know I get asleep. Jesus came to redeem me. Man, if he don't do anything else for me ever again, enough said, right? Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me. That's hard to say sometimes. I feel like I need grace plus healing. I need grace plus relationship. I need grace plus money. I need grace plus whatever. We're so westernized in our way we think about this stuff. Oh, you are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So you get to go to heaven now, sis. Listen, he was oppressed, Scripture says, and treated harshly, yet he never said a word, just like a sheep. They just take the slaughter, man. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he didn't open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. And by the way, he did not open his mouth because he couldn't have. He did not open his mouth. He didn't stay silent because he had to. He didn't stay silent because he couldn't get himself out of his situation. Scripture teaches he all at his word, he could have had enough angels to take them all out, and he would have been fine. He did it. He did it because of love and humility. The God of heaven emptied himself, Philippians 2, emptied himself of that deity. And came and lived as a man. It wasn't that he lacked power. He just had a whole lot of love in his heart for us. And that's a beautiful thing. No one cared that he died without the sentence, the Bible says. And when you read that passage, you go, oh, that's right. Jesus didn't have anybody to follow in this. I mean, that was his life was cut short in midstream. And we say today, oh, man, he was just 33 years old. Wow, that's young. We forget that Jesus was around that age. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He was the sinless substituted for the sinful. That's what Jesus was. Scripture says he had done no wrong. He never deceived anyone. Are y'all asking yourself at this point, where's the nativity? I thought this was a Christmas service. Well, we had that. What I want to do is help us understand that this baby who came, he went through hell literally for us so that we wouldn't have to. That's the beauty of Christmas. It really is. I didn't mean to get heavy, but I'm just there. I read this and I thought, I've got to say this. Listen to what he said. He had done no wrong. He never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal, put in a rich man's grave. But it was, really? It was the Lord's good plan. I can't think of any plan in my life where I would want to crush one of my kids. I can't think of any plan in my life where I would crush any of my kids for any of you guys or any of you guys at home. I just can't think of it. But it says here it was his good plan to crush him and cause him grief. And the first thing I thought about in that is the next time I go through an issue, who am I to complain to the God of heaven that he didn't answer my prayer like I thought he should have? It was his good plan. Why? What was good about that plan? You and me and us and all those people out there right now that don't care at all about God or don't even believe in God or don't they don't even pretend to want to be interested in anything of God. It was God's good plan to have his son crushed for them. The point, I can't get too hard ahead of myself. I'll get to the point in a minute. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Look around. Everybody look to your neighbor and say, you're a descendant of Jesus. Yeah. You are. By faith. You guys that didn't grow up in the Church of Christ probably never had the privilege of singing Father Abraham. Oh, I see Methodists laughing. Y'all had that too? Y'all didn't? No. Y'all didn't do, no. We called it church aerobics, because you're doing all your limbs and you're marching and doing all these things. But the ending of that song, Abraham had many sons, and I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. All of that came about because of Jesus, the baby who came into the world, who gave his life as an offering of sin, so that he has many descendants, not physical descendants, but he has many, 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 many spiritual descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. And when he sees all that he accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. You ever gone through a struggle and got to the other side of it and been grateful because, hey, I'm actually glad I went through this struggle. I'm stronger because I went through this struggle. I got to the other side of that, and I'm okay with having gone through the struggle, because you see it afterwards. Jesus, before it ever happened, decided to go through it because of his joy at the outcome. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this about it. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Its shame. This phrase, the joy awaiting him, is very unclear in Scripture. It's very unclear. It could mean, you could take it like this. Jesus is going to go to the cross because he knows that in just a few minutes, he's going to be back with his Father in heaven. That's one meaning of it, that he had joy that he was going to go back to be with God. To be frankly honest with you, that's kind of what I always thought about this. But the more I studied this, the joy that he had was not about himself. I think Jesus in the garden was, you know he was. He said, if there's any other way, let it be so. If there's anything else you can do, let it happen. But deep down inside of Christ was the purpose behind why he was doing what he was doing. And, you know, I think we lose sight a lot of times of what we're doing in this world because we've lost sight of our own purpose. Many of us think that our life is caught up in the day-to-day things that we have to do and things that we need to do and all those things, because our life exists so we can pay the bills and make sure that nobody don't get paid this month, make sure everybody gets paid this month, and make sure that everything's caught up and we put some money in the bank and we get to a retirement one day and we do all. We think that that is our purpose. And those things are what bring us joy. And it doesn't matter that the Bible and the world is full of people who've had everything they ever wanted physically and were miserable. This thought just came in my head. This is for me, but if you guys want to enjoy hearing it, it's fine. I think sometimes I get so earthly minded that I'm not even heavenly at all. That I'm so worried about what's going to happen to me and you. It's we work so hard to have the things of this world. And I'm not, listen, please don't go out of here and say Pastor Keith said I shouldn't work and all that. Don't take this to an extreme. But try to walk with me and see this. You know what? If I get hungry, I go eat something. Even if I look in my cabinet, it's full of food, and I don't like what I see, I go somewhere else get something. And the bottom line is, and Liz is like, yeah, we do that a lot. And the whole thing is, we could actually call Russ and Rebecca, if we didn't have anything in our cabinets and we had no money in the bank, we could call Russ and Rebecca and say, hey, we're hungry. Can we come get something to eat with y'all? And they'd be, yeah, come on. And if they didn't, there's hundreds of others that could. I have never been and will never be hungry in my lifetime in this world, as far as I can see right now. I live in an immaculate mansion compared to most of the world. I drive an incredible automobile. I wear nice clothes because Liz has got to where she dresses me, and I appreciate it. I do. It's so funny. We had a talk about this the other night. I wish I could share some things with you, but I'm not going to. And she's like, you better not. My point is, we work hard to get all these things, and we have forgotten, y'all, that this is about as much of this world we're ever going to live. And if you can take a line and draw it from here to eternity and it never would end, that's how much time we're going to spend with God. And we spend very, very little time with God and for God and what He's called us to do. It could be that the stuff happening in my life and in your life is God trying to remind us that, hey, you're really not in control of anything. I am. Yeah, that's good. That's not anywhere in these notes, but God, that's something that I need to hear. Desperately bad. Desperately bad. While I'm living, I need to be living for Him in every aspect of my life. Man, I got them up here and I went on a tangent. The joy awaiting Jesus was He knew the end from the beginning, and He knew you'd go to hell if He didn't die. And that's why He did it. That's His joy. I read this from a commentary. He looked right through the cross to the coming joy, the joy bringing salvation to those whom He loves. And that's you. Now, if you're in a congregation today, you're at home, and you feel like, well, God really don't love me. I mean, how can He love me? He don't love me. You're just wrong. I don't know any other way to say it. You're just wrong. It's like a teenager that denies your very existence and wonders why you won't let them do what they want to do. They can't see the fact that you love them, and if they do what they want to do, they're going to wind up in jail somewhere or hurt somewhere. And they can't. God is trying to get our attention, y'all. He needs your attention. He needs my full attention, all of it, on Him. Isaiah goes on to say, because of His experience, this Jesus, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for He will bear how many of their sins? Read it, look at it, be ready. All of them. You can't think of a sin you ever committed that God's going to ever remember if you give your life to Him. I told somebody one time, if you prayed about the same sin twice, the second time God goes, what are you talking about? Scripture says He forgives it. He forgets it. And He never remembers it again. Praise God for that. Man, I wish I could get some people to do that. Wouldn't that be cool? I wish I could do that. He's amazing. He's just an amazing God. That's all there is to it. I will give Him the honors of a victorious soldier because He exposed Himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. That's the baby in the manger. Born to live a life as a man of sorrows, full of grief, homeless. Almost everything He said made somebody mad. Because all He was interested in was pleasing His Father. Not anybody else. And I want you to be careful not to miss this fact. And that is that God calls us to live in unexpected ways in our culture. Last night I was on my way home from the show and it was late. I was tired. So I had to bring my drums here and go home and all of that. And I was hungry. I'd had supper. So I stopped at Mickey D's. I did. I'm sorry. I ordered my food, and I got to the window, and the young lady who ordered my window, who brought my food to me, her name is Gwen, by the way. Y'all pray for Gwen, because at some point between the ordering of the food and sitting in the drive-thru to talk to Gwen, I was prompted in my heart to pray for her about something. I have no idea yet what it was. So I asked her, I said, what's your name? She looked at me like, okay. My name is Gwen. I said, Gwen, I don't know why, but I feel prompted in my heart to pray for you. Is there something I can pray for you about? And it stunned her. She was like, if you ever say that to somebody, it shocks the world out of them. And most of the time, people think, well, there must be something wrong with me if you're praying for me. And I tried to relieve that. I said, it may be something very light. It may not be anything. It may not. Maybe this is just me and I missed it. But I'd sure like to pray for you if you don't mind. And she went, for my success. She's guessing, man. And I pulled out of that drive-thru and I prayed, Lord, be with Gwen. Make her successful. And I don't know if that sounds weird or crazy to you, but I think that that's just being a light to people. And hey, if it freaks people out, back off. Don't respect people's space, man. Come on. Let's love people, but let's don't scare them to death. But inside of you, you've got the news that will take them from hell to heaven. That's why these empty seats matter. It's because heaven and hell's real. He redeemed us so that we would be instruments of redemption to the world. He became servant so that we'll be given the opportunities to serve and speak into other people's lives. And because of him, we give up our lives to save others. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Can I ask you a question? Have you realized maybe in this message or maybe the message before, maybe you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're really not where you need to be with Jesus? Prayer team, would you guys go ahead and take your spot? We're going to put some people around the room for you guys who are guests with us. These are our prayer team. They're going to be standing. I'm going to ask it. Everybody just be still. And in this moment, the prayer team's moving. And if you just have to go, you can leave. I'd really like for you to stay and give people an opportunity right here to pray. And these people around the room love you. Listen, what you pray and talk to them about stays right with them. They do not get in a room somewhere and go, did you hear about so-and-so? I prayed with them today. Man, they're messed up. That has to not go on. And they're going to be confidential about it. But go and pray. Because here's the thing. I sense that there may be somebody here. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I can't read hearts. I don't know. But I think a crowd this size, there should be somebody that needs to be redeemed today. You've been living for yourself. John the disciple said this. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Well, Isaiah just got through saying he's not even somebody we'd want to look at. He wasn't attractive at all. His story certainly isn't attractive unless you start really believing and knowing. It's a rough life. He came to his own people, and then they even rejected him. Scripture says his own family didn't believe in him. But to all who believed in him, everybody say all. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Is that not amazing to you? Or have you heard it so many times, it's just, let's get it done so we can go eat. It amazes me every time I read it that I, Keith Davis, is a son of God. He is my father. And he can be yours if you will accept him and not reject him. They are reborn. We often say born again, but the words here literally mean born from above. It's something God does to you, not something you do for him. You just accept in Christ, and God comes into your heart and reshapes it and begins to remold it, and sanctification begins, and your life begins to change. And some of us are like, will you hurry up and get to the end? Stop it. Sanctification change. Every day I get sanctified. More closer to Jesus if I'm seeking after him. They're reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You were birthed into this world, not of your own choice, physically. Somebody else made that decision for you. God says, with this decision, it's not going to be like that. You're going to accept me. I'm going to come into your heart and I'm going to live. And you need to believe it today. Would you stand with me, please? Father, before I say a word today to anybody or ask any questions, I ask that you come into our lives. We need you, Father. We need you every step of the way. You know, I pray every day to you. I can't do this on my own. I will not go any step further without you. So please be with us, Lord. Bless and heal. Give us your peace. And right now, while people are making decisions to come and some for something or some are coming to accept you, Father. I pray whatever it is, I pray that people will have courage right now on this day to make this day the first day of the rest of their spiritual lives. That the rebirth can happen today because you've come into their life in a strong way. We love you and honor you in Jesus' name. And as after I finish that prayer, is there anybody in the room that needs me to pray over them today for salvation? Is there anybody here today that needs to say, I need to give Jesus my life today? Is there anybody in this room? There's one. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's pray over the one. Father God, I pray for this one who's come to say that I want to give my life more and more to Jesus and to receive. So God, I pray and I honor that. Praise you for it. Praise you for it. Thank you for salvation, for redemption. It's through Christ that I pray. Amen. We're going to worship just a moment with the lights way down so you won't have to worry about people watching you do what you do. If you want to go for prayer, please step out right now and go talk to somebody and pray. Please do that. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity.
Is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name it stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name it stands above them all. Sing your name. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name it stands above them all, above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name it stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you were lifted high, holy, and holy forever, hear your people sing, and holy.
Be holy forever. If this world stands another million years and we're all dead and gone, he'll still be holy. Can we just praise him for that? Yeah, come on. He is to be holy. Father, you are holy. Your name is to be kept holy. Your glory is to shine into all the earth, Father. Help us to go and be that for people around us. Help us to move in this world, not just during Christmas or special times or just on Sunday. God, help us every step of the way to be seeking out those who are hurting and lost in order that Jesus might come, the one who's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Savior of the world, to come into their life as well. May you be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let everybody say a good amen right there. It's a good day, man. Good day. Well, Merry Christmas to you. I hope that that message... I'm not even going to say that. That message was what it was, man. And I'm telling you, I'm excited that I have Jesus in my life. If you are here today and you do not know Christ and you didn't feel comfortable stepping out and talking to a prayer warrior, we say this all the time. Just because we're dismissing in a moment with a really, really fun song. And I want to invite you to stay and like party with this song. This is a great one. And is that it? Has we started it? Is that the song we're doing next? I'm excited. I need to hush so y'all can
whenever
do it.
You're done.
Do I? Oh, whenever I'm done? Okay, I'm done. I love y'all.
I love y'all. This is fun. Y'all stay and hang with us if you need to go. That's fine, but you'll be dismissed right now. Oh, by the way, don't forget to give all of our partners. Go buy the box and drop some money in so we can keep going on, okay?
Well, it's a fun one. Sing along. Say hi to a neighbor if you haven't yet already. Shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. Here laid the Savior inside a manger, and oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Oh, Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. Oh, God came down on this glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Oh, Jesus Christ is born.
Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King.
Star shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. What a glorious night where our God made a way for a glorious day like this. Go ahead and find someone you haven't said hi to. Wish them a Merry Christmas. Make a new friend. Be safe, and God bless you all.